Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, let's go to the Word. It's been 3 weeks since I've been up here, at least preaching. And so I want to continue on in our series called Before the Foundation. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 25, if you would. You can turn there. And I'm going to do a little review this morning. We've been talking about the parable of the sower. My friend Pastor Jeremy at Break Forth Bible Church in Glendive, he goes, I don't know why we call it the parable of the sower, Sean. We should call it the parable of the ground. And it's true. He's right. Because it's really not about the sower. It's really about the ground. And I thought, well, that's good. You're right. So I'm not gonna change the title in my Bible, but really it's about, that parable is about us as believers or us as humans. Because we are responsible for the condition of our heart in response to God. We're responsible. How many have noticed that you have free will? You know, when you woke up this morning, and maybe you don't eat cereal, maybe you do, I don't know, but you chose what you had for breakfast. It was not predetermined by God before the foundation of the world. He wasn't like on July 7th, 2019, Mike will eat eggs with bacon. And he'll have no choice because I've programmed him. We're not robots. We have free will. And so in the relationship with God, as we develop and walk with Him, we decide how we respond to Him. We decide the level of openness that we have in our lives to His words and to fellowship with Him. Do you know, and I'll just say this, and if you don't believe me, maybe we'll prove it out one day, but I'll rock you with it first. But did you know that you determine the level of intimacy that you have with the Lord? You do. The Lord has given everything that He needs to and is going to give in Christ Jesus. The level or the depth of relationship that you experience with the Lord is directly dependent on your willingness to walk in intimacy and obedience to Him. It's how it works. James put it this way. He said, draw near unto the Lord and He'll draw near unto you. In other words, the Lord said, I made a move in Jesus, now it's your move. So it's a chess game. Do you see that? When you're playing checkers, after one person moves, they don't get a move again. They have to wait for you to move. And that's what the Lord is doing. He's waiting for your move. Now, when you make a move toward Him in obedience to Him, praise the Lord, He makes a move towards you out of the abundance of His grace and the supply of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I'm thankful for that. And understanding that will help you to continue to grow. So this morning, we're going to continue on the parable of the sower, or really, we could say the parable of the ground. Since we were just not done here with this truth from the Word, I believe that there is significant breakthrough in this truth that is so simple, it would be easy to walk right past it and miss deliverance. Do you know that's possible? Do you know that the Son of God walked the earth and people walked right by Him and thought, who's that guy? That's Joseph's boy. I know Mary. I know that family. They're messed up. People say, oh no, they never said that about Jesus. Yep, they did. Because He looked common like everybody else. He looked like us. And it's possible to walk by the Lord and not even know it. We're going to talk about watering the seed this morning. But I want to just remind you a couple of things. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it says this, God conceals the revelation of His word in the hiding place of His glory. This is the Passion Translation. But the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all that God says. So if you're looking for glory, you got to thoroughly search out what God has hidden in His glory, which is Christ Jesus. Amen? So you have to thoroughly search it out. So this truth that we are looking at, and we read this before, and if you want to go back and catch up, you can go to the website. The first five messages are available there, and you can listen to them, or you can go to the YouTube channel and watch them if you want. But they're all available if you want to catch up and get to where we are today. So I'm just reviewing briefly. But we saw that the Lord uttered truths that were from before the foundation of the world. So when Jesus came, he was downloaded with, by the Holy Spirit, information that was before creation. Now that'll mess with your head. Because your natural mind goes, no, that's not how it works. But it is how it works. God had the end planned from the beginning. From before the beginning. Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Well, how's that possible? Because God knows ahead of time. Our job as kings is to look into what he has hidden, not from us, but for us. Okay? The truths in the Word of God, you know, sometimes people read the Bible and they go, I just don't get it. Stop saying that. Say, the Holy Spirit helps me get it. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit can speak brain surgeon and he can speak mechanic. He can speak India and he can speak Chinese and he can speak, come on, English. He can speak Northern English and redneck English. Southern English, if you call it English. I lived in the South for 5 years. You just slow it way down and take certain letters out of the word and drag it. I have a friend of mine who lives in North Carolina. Remember Jeremy Kanagi? Yeah, shout out to Jeremy Kanagi. And his buddy's name was Todd Crutchfield, and they came to Rhema. They were first-year students. We worked at the same restaurant, and I was a second year. And the first time I talked to them, I said, what, a lot? I was like, what? What? I mean, it was so slow and so Southern, I could not understand a word they were saying. We worked around it. We became good friends after that, so it worked out well. But my point in that is this, is that the Lord can help you understand the Word. He's not looking to leave you in confusion. If there's confusion there, the enemy is working. Then you know what to stand against. So if you feel confused, if you feel like, oh, I'm just lost in it, you know what to come against. I have the mind of Christ. I resist this confusion. Holy Spirit, teach me how I understand. Sometimes when I'm teaching, I'll teach and get done. And then our drummer, Neil, who's sitting over here. Raise your hand, Neil. Wave to the people. Okay. He'll come up to me and he'll explain to me what I just taught in ways that I have no idea how he came up with it. But if you were an electrical engineer, you would understand. Now he has to dumb it down for me, okay? Because my brain doesn't work like his does, his mind. He can look at math problems and go, this is what it is. In fact, I heard the story, and I believe this is true, but he frustrated his math teachers because he'd write the right answer but not show his work. You ever been around that person? Well, if you have a math problem, see the drummer. But I will say this. When he explains it to me, it makes sense. I was up at camp and preaching. And afterwards, there's a gentleman who was there helping the youth. His name is Andrew Helm. He's an electrical engineer. And he came up to me, and his brother is Isaiah Helm, and he's not an electrical engineer, he's some kind of other engineer, and then their younger brother is an engineer as well. So they have engineer brains. I don't know if that's genetic, I don't know how that works. But he came up to me and explained to me, he said, when you guys are talking about light and power and current and electricity, he said, there is so much revelation just in how electricity works about God. So if you're a mechanic, he'll talk to you in mechanic terms. If you're an auto body worker, he'll talk to you in auto body terms. Do you see what I'm saying? So God has a way and he can get it to you. It's our job to search it out. Amen. So we learn that this truth existed from before creation. We learn that understanding the parable of the sower is the key to understanding all parables. In Mark 4:13, the Lord said this, as he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" We looked at the fact that we decide the level of understanding that we receive. There's a translation here that brings this out when you read this. Sometimes it can look like in Scripture that the Lord is saying you can't understand. But when you understand Greek or Hebrew, you'll understand that we have a lot to do with the level of understanding. In other words, he's saying, I would show you, but you don't want to hear it. How many have kids or have had kids, young kids in your house? There are times where you can be speaking to that child and they don't want to hear it. And you know you're wasting your words, right? The Lord is the exact same way. He knows when you want to hear and when you don't. I've had this happen to me so many times where I'm going through something. I'm like, Lord, what about this? And 3 days later, I'll get the answer. Why? I wasn't ready to hear 3 days earlier. Now, I should be able to hear like that. But it's determined on me, not on him. Okay? So, I think sometimes, and I know this, especially in our ignorance about the Lord and relationship with him, we blame things on God that are totally our fault. Okay? I mean, it's just the absolute truth, you know? So he said this, and I believe this is in Matthew, but you don't have to turn there. But he said, I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your eyes are open, but you don't, your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. This is the message. Not the New King James. The New King James would be flowery, you know. It wouldn't be. The people are hard-headed, stiff-necked. The message, the people are blockheads. I love this. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me face to face. Now watch this and let me heal them. Isn't that interesting? He could have said, and let me judge them. He didn't. Why? Because what's God's heart? Heal. Okay? God doesn't want you destroyed. So we looked at this, that we decide the level. We want to remain open. We looked at wayside ground, what wayside ground is. Wayside ground is representative of a person's heart that is hard and unreceptive to the Word of God. We see this by the fact that it is stolen, the Word of God or the seed of the Word, is stolen through lack of understanding. I do not believe this is because the person is incapable of understanding, but rather uninterested in understanding. Another reason why I believe this is true is because we see in Luke's account in verse 5 that the seed was trampled down. You do not trample, and the word trample means to disdain what you value and care about. We looked at this. Wayside ground is people's hearts who just disdain the word. Have you ever shared the Lord with somebody? They're like, I don't want to mess with that. You threw seed on that ground, and what happened? A bird of the air comes and eats that seed right away, which is the enemy. Why? Because it's sitting on a hard surface. It doesn't have nowhere to go. It can't get down in the ground. And so it just gets stolen. The enemy just takes the thought away, takes the truth away from them. The enemy can devour a person's salvation because of a lack of care for God's word. Isn't that interesting? Now, you could hear the word for salvation for eternity. You could hear that word. You could get born again and then skip all the other promises that are for the here and now. I love the sweet by and by, but I love the present, the here and now. Okay? We have a salvation for the sweet by and by, okay? We are born again. We have the key. The key is Jesus and the seed is in our hearts. Now, if you don't, you can change that today. But if you do, then you're going to heaven. What you need is victory here. You know why? There's no giants in heaven. God's not in heaven trying to defend his throne. There is no enemy there. He's not, that battle's over. It's already been accomplished. And so we need the truths here. So the truths here then affect this life here. So we don't want to be wayside ground when it comes to the promises. Well, you read a scripture that I've never read before. That just means you haven't heard it. It doesn't mean it's not true. Well, my church never taught that. That just means maybe they don't know that truth. But as long as it's being birthed or coming forth out of the scripture in context of covenant and context of the word, and it's a promise that we can see 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times over, the Proverbs said it this way. He said, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be what? Established. So you won't be established in a truth if you don't have the word on that truth. Amen? So we don't want to be hard against that. We don't want to be wayside ground. Then we talked about stony ground. Stony ground are people who receive the word with joy. This is interesting. It can look like they are going to go far in the Lord. I've seen this before. But the real first test comes when they experience persecution and tribulation. Listen to this. Persecution and tribulation reveal depth and quality of root, which is also revealing of soil and moisture content as well. In this portion of the parable, the stony ground is what it says. There are stones in the earth where the seed is supposed to be able to gather moisture and develop root. Those stones are the result of what? Tribulation and persecution. So the enemy, if he can't get you just to be and go along with the hard-heartedness, when you start to believe the word and act on the word and you get excited about the word, how many have done that and you thought all hell broke loose in your life? That's because tribulation and persecution has come. It's not from God. Don't say, why God? Say, Lord, where's the scripture? Let's start plucking stones. Amen? Much of the church world is taught to be afraid of the devil. We don't teach that here. Why? It's unscriptural. I mean, go through the scripture sometimes and see how many times the Lord said, be not afraid. Don't fear. Well, don't fear the devil. The book of Revelation says we're going to look at him at the end of time and go, that's the one that deceived the nations? The Lord said, I was reading that one time, the Lord said, you should just gather that vision of him right now, Sean. I thought, yeah, that's good. That's the one. Well, and people do. The enemy is so good at this. When you declare a promise, the enemy will say, well, what if that doesn't happen? That's right when I speak up and say, you might as well shut your mouth, devil, because it's coming to pass. And people say, well, what if it doesn't? Stop with the what ifs. You're functioning as a believer. If you're functioning in what ifs, you're no different than a lost person. Come on. I know, that one hurt, didn't it? Come on. It is the same truth for me as it is for you, okay? I have to go live with this message afterwards, too. Okay? In other words, what? It's the strangest thing in the world to me is an unbelieving believer. Right? Is he God? Is he faithful? Is the Lord God of heaven, God, Jehovah God? I'm not talking about the devil right now. Some of you are looking at me like, no, the devil's not God, Sean. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the Lord. Is the Lord God of heaven God? Yes. Is he faithful? And he's nothing else but. So we should not ascribe to him things that are of unfaithfulness. Okay? All right. You say, what are you doing? Well, sometimes you got to rip stones out. Sometimes people, and Brother Hagin used to say this all the time, it's so true. People have been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. Our opinions are not what keep us in balance spiritually, nor are our experiences. Truth. Okay? People say, well, I don't want to get out of balance. I'm okay with not getting out of balance. Just as long as you're not correcting it, the out of balance with your opinion or your experience. Those are not doctrinal foundations. Doctrinal foundation comes from the Word and the Word of God alone. Amen? Hallelujah. Not all your experiences are bad. It's just our number one foundation has to be that Word. Okay? And then we are to experience out of that. Now, if you're experiencing something that's not in the Word, what do you know? You need to work on your foundation. Amen? All right. So stony ground people are those who hear the promises of God and they receive and get excited. But through tribulation and persecution, the enemy is able to get these people offended at God. I believe stony ground people make statements like, I know the Bible says that, but I tried it and it didn't work. You might as well say, God, you're a liar. Come on. Is that true? You might as well say that. If somebody says to you, I'm going to do this for you, and then they don't, what do you know? They lied. Okay? So in our relationship with God, who is the one that needs to change? Do you notice that the scripture never says that the Lord is having his mind transformed by his word? But see, you say, why do you got to attack it from this standpoint? Because the world is full of these thoughts. Because the enemy has filled the world with it. I was talking to somebody recently, and we were talking about a specific topic which I did not bring up, nor did I continue in it. I just let them finish and then moved on. You say, why? I've just learned to do it over the years. It's very helpful for me in my peace level. And you got to know when somebody's open to hear something. Amen? And they sat and told me, talked to me about this particular subject, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, so don't think that I am. And they sit and talk to me and talk to me, and one statement after another is, well, I think. Well, my opinion is. And I just let them go. And I went like this. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. And then we moved on. What I was saying was, I understand what you're saying. I was not saying I agree with you. Because in my mind and heart, this scripture is going through my mind. And this scripture is going through my mind. And this scripture is going through my mind. Why? Not to condemn that person, but what have they built their truth or their experience or their direction for their life upon? They've built it upon their experience and their opinion. That's not good enough. Amen? What if you built your salvation on your opinion? See, everybody likes solid faith when it comes to being born again. But the moment you move it out into other subjects, people get a little flimsy and wiggly. They don't have backbone. You understand what I'm saying? They have wishbone. I heard that from Joyce Meyer. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. Stony ground. Many Christians fall for the lie that the problem is with the seed. You should settle this in your heart now. The problem is never the seed. It's never the seed. So if stones, tribulation, persecution has come, you need to go and do exactly what the Lord told you to do. Be of good cheer. The Lord said, I've overcome the world. So you can look at the tribulation and the persecution and you can go, this is going to change. Why? Because the Lord's moving on my behalf. I'm going to pick rocks, plant seed, and pull weeds. You know what I mean by that? Okay. So then the last one is the thorny ground. And we talked about this, the ground with thorns. And actually, Mike Seppala said this to me. We were drinking coffee downtown one day and near his work. And he said that he was reading the parable of the sower. He made the statement that the Lord had said to him that the weeds do not destroy the seed of the word. They just choke out its produce. Isn't that interesting? I thought, when he said that, it went boom, and it hit me, and I went, I'm putting that in my message. But I was going to make sure to give you credit for it. So, there you go. Yeah, yeah, give him credit. I know. But it was so good. It was the Holy Spirit ministering to me. At that moment, I thought, man, I have never seen that before. That means many people, and you look at what the weeds are. The weeds are cares of this life, pleasures of this life, and worry and fear. Okay? That means there are Christians sitting with stones out of their ground, plowed fields. They're soft. They're pliable to the Word of God. They have the Holy Spirit working in their life and the life of God working in their life to a degree, but they've allowed so many other things to come in and choke out that supernatural eternal seed that is inside their heart. I believe, now I think it takes a lot. I mean, I think it takes a lot. I don't think this is something that just happens. Oop, there it happened. But I believe that you could allow the world to take or to lead you to a path where you reject your salvation. I am not a once saved, always saved guy. Now, I am a once saved, it's really hard to be unsaved guy. Okay? I mean, it's not like, you know, you got mad at your kids or something and lost your salvation. None of that goofy stuff. Okay, there's none of that. Salvation is solid. It's secure. Our righteousness is not based on our works. There's only one unpardonable sin. Did you know that? People say, well, what is it? Well, I want to know. There's only one sin that the Lord can't forgive. Rejection of Jesus as your Savior. That's the only one. Why? How's He going to save you if you don't accept the Savior? So don't confuse those things, okay? But I believe this could, and what it does when, and it's hard for, it can be difficult for new believers to begin to, because you're contending with your mind, you're contending with your flesh. So when you get born again, you experience God. It's a wonderful experience. You feel the presence of God, and then life happens around you. And let's say you get through the persecution and the tribulation of being rejected maybe by people who don't believe it, or having to, you know, find new friends because, you know, all your old friends aren't coming with you. You tried to take as many as you could, but most of them didn't want to come, or some of them didn't, whatever the case may be. And you're trying to move forward with the Lord, and then the next thing the enemy tries to work in is worry and obligations and these things and entertainments and all these things we have going on. And what it can feel like is, well, if I give up that, then what will I do? I will tell you what you will do. You will serve and follow the Lord. He'll give you balance to your life, pull the weeds out, and you'll enjoy 30, 60, and 100-fold of the promises of God upon your life. People think, well, I got to hurry up and do everything I possibly can right now because you never know when I'm going to die. No. You know when you're going to die after you've been satisfied with a... And that's when that word long needs to go southern. Long. You want to live to be so old, the old people call you old. And people say, well, why is that? What if I want to go home? Well, I can't stop you. If you want to go home, you can go. I know people that died when I was in Bible school at 34 years old of nothing. You say, what do you mean by that? They did an autopsy. There's nothing wrong with him. He just left. People can do that. But you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather be so old that my grandkids and great-grandkids look at me and go, how old are you? You know, where you get cracks, not just wrinkles. You know, it looks like your face is like, maybe you ought to pull that thing back up, you know, pull it back. I will never do that, by the way. Because it's not happening for me. You do whatever you want, but it's not happening for me. So I want to be sold, but yet able to do what? Impart the revelation of heaven into that generation. See, if you cut out early, there goes a temple, a vessel that the Lord was going to use. He'll have to put it on somebody else. Amen? How many are thankful that we have language in writing? You know, you wouldn't have the revelation of Paul right now if it hadn't been written down. Paul's revelation that he got from the Lord. But stony ground are those who allow these things to control their life. Their decisions are not based on what God tells them to do. They're based on fear, which is worry. They're based on obligations outside of what God has called them to do. They're based on entertainment things and things of that nature. They're based on our culture. You could do something 24/7. I had a friend of mine. His wife, he's a Rhema grad, and his wife, she didn't go to Rhema, but she was down there with him, and she made this statement. She said to me one time, she said, you know, I don't think the church needs to be involved in any entertainment. She said, there's enough entertainment out there. Why does the church have to get into entertainment too? Sometimes things get distracting. Do you know there's good entertainment out there? Just because there's bad entertainment doesn't mean there's not good entertainment. How many enjoy a good movie? I do. You know, it doesn't all have to be, you know, not everything outside the church is sin. It's not, you know. If it is a sin to go to the movie theater, why'd you go? You know, like I heard years ago, if the rapture happened and you were in a movie theater, there'd be a hole in the roof. I wasn't at that kind of movie that, come on. Praise the Lord. It's just that God has to be first. You have to give him first place. You have to give him time. Amen? Hallelujah. So the last ground we looked at was the good ground. Good ground is found in a person who hears with the intent of understanding. It is a person who removes the stones of tribulation and persecution. It is a person who removes the weeds of worry, the deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things, and the pleasures of this life. Now, God is not telling you you can't have things. God is not telling you that he doesn't want you blessed financially, because he does. God is not telling you that he doesn't, that there can't be any other thing going on in your life. Now, he is telling you you can't worry. Okay, that one's out. Altogether out. People say, well, I feel it. I know. That's okay. You don't have to live it. You can resist that feel. Now, listen, he's not saying you can't have things. He's not even saying, he doesn't, you know, the truth of the matter is, God doesn't care if you live in a double-wide trailer, a camper on wheels, or a mansion. He does not care. You think, if God cared so much about your physical possessions, why is he going to burn them all up? You know? People, they're like whole arguments about prosperity and all. Why are we arguing? Leave it alone. If the people that are rich, they love their money more than God, God will deal with that person. And people say, well, no, I don't know about that. Did you read about the rich young ruler? God will go to a person who loves their stuff and go, sell it all. Come and follow me. And that person will either sell and be full of joy or walk away. That's the deceitfulness of riches, that you think it can save you. That's a joke. What a joke. I mean, think about it. How quickly have prosperous nations been sucked dry by communism? The government could decide all the gold and silver is ours now. And you're not going to, I mean, you can dig a hole and put it somewhere. But so where's your faith then? Yeah, I mean, the financial systems, all these things, we got to realize this. These are not the most important things. Relationship with the Lord is. You can be happy sitting by a creek bed under a, you know, a tree, eating wild onions. Why? Because you have the Lord. Amen? And there are people who have how many room mansions that are depressed and want to kill themselves? Who left all their inheritance to a cat? A cat? I mean, at least it could have been a dog. Okay, I better move on. Good ground represents a person who not only removes these things from their garden, but also preserves the soil with continual watchfulness and maintenance of the ground. You need to be led in everything you do. We talked about this. We talked about that. Good ground are people who are teachable. They're correctable and they're repentant. They allow the word of God to teach them and correct them. We talked about the fact that good ground people hear from the ministry gifts placed in the body of Christ. And I'm just going to say this. Don't get offended at the person who doesn't believe the way you do on things. Now, you need to hold to your conviction that you have from the word of God. But I listen to ministers that I don't agree with on things strongly. Strongly disagree with them. But yet there is a truth that they hold if they're truly born again and blood bought. And they believe in salvation as we know it through the scriptures. They have truths and understanding in areas. They're a brother and sister. I heard a minister say this. We've been pretty good sons and daughters of God, but pretty poor brothers and sisters. Yeah. Okay? Being born again and being children. You know, there's no Lutheran side of heaven. You don't want to go down to that side. Why? That's where the Pentecostals are. They're crazy. We don't go over that side of heaven. Why? That's the super dry intellectual side. That's where the, you know, whatever group is. No, it's just heaven. Amen? So we got to keep that in mind. Doesn't mean you have to agree with him, but you can love everybody. You can. You have it in you to love. So you need to hear from those that are equipping and anointed to equip and edify the body of Christ. It helps in your spiritual growth, staying as good ground. We looked at the fact that good ground people attend church regularly. They serve in fellowship with believers. This is found in Acts 2:46. It said, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Notice they were meeting in the church, but or in the temple, and they were meeting in the houses. Okay? You ought to have friends. You can go over to their house and go, let's talk about the Lord. That's all right. Amen? You should. It helps you. Acts 5:41 says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Notice they weren't crying. And it says this, verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. I mean, we have church twice a week. Well, even right now, once a week. They were meeting daily. Now I'm going to read a verse that's going to scare everybody. Hebrews 10:25. It says this. The writer of Hebrews said this. He said, not forsaking or neglecting the assembly together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. The Passion Translation says this. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. Even back then, that was a habit for people because we need each other. I like that. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. In other words, the return of the Lord. How many know that this world has an oppressive effect? Okay, we got to watch that. Proverbs 18:1 says this. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. This Proverbs 18:1 in the Message says, loners who care only for themselves spit on the common good. In the Living Bible, it says, the selfish man quarrels against every sound principle of conduct by demanding his own way. Do we have a church world today that demands their own way? Well, I would have gone to that church, but the coffee wasn't as good as the other church. And I'm not telling you something that I haven't heard. So the Lord led you by a cup of coffee. I think he's deeper than that. Amen? You go where the Lord wants you to, you'll be so blessed you can buy everybody coffee. Yeah, Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. A loner, this is God's word translation, says, a loner is out to get what he wants for himself. He opposes all sound reasoning. The Passion Translation says, an unfriendly person isolates himself and seems to care only about his own issues, for his contempt of sound judgment makes him a recluse. I'm not going to be a recluse. We have to get around these people. It's so hard. Well, they have to be around you too. Come on, let the elevator go to the top. Amen. They have to be around you too. Isolation is never good because you're left to your own opinions. You never get another perspective. So lastly, this morning we'll wrap up with this. You need to water the seed of the word. And this is where I wasn't able to get to before, and I want to finish up with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Paul said, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now, have you ever really thought about that verse? That's a pretty strong statement to a church. You know, I wanted to tell you more, but you just weren't able. That's a strong statement. What if you come into church on a Sunday and the pastor gets up and says, well, I had a message prepared, but the Lord told me you're all too carnal to hear it, so I'm going to have to go back and repeat what I preached. Because that's what he did right there. The truth has that effect, doesn't it? Ooh. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. In other words, you're a baby. That's what he's saying, right? He said, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Solid food is not given to a baby. Why? Because the baby will what? They'll spit it out, but if they tried to swallow it, they can't chew. They probably have no teeth, so what do they need? Milk. Because they'll choke on solid food. Amen? All right. Think with me here, okay? I want you to see this. What is the requirement for greater revelation? Maturity. Listen to me. Just because you think you got a revelation on something doesn't mean you necessarily did. Maturity has to happen. Watch now. Think about this, because I want you to see this. How do you get free? You shall know the... But what if you can't receive it? Here we go. We're all the way back to the wayside ground, aren't we? The hardness. What if you can't hear it? Well, I don't like that truth that's coming through that guy. He's just this age and I'm much older than him. And where Paul would come to the church if I invited him to speak, and he would show up and go, well, guess what? I had a message prepared, but the Lord showed me that you guys are still all on milk, so I'm going to have to preach something else. Right? I mean, this hit me like it's hitting you. I went, oh, yeah. Because the Lord brought that verse back to me. You shall know the truth. Sean, if you can't receive the truth that is necessary because of a lack of spiritual growth, a lack of feeding on the milk and developing and living from the place of the milk first, then your deliverance is on the other side of the truth that you can't receive. Come on. I know sometimes we don't like to think about this, but it's in the Word anyway, and we need to think about it. How many like a good challenge? Okay. So he says this in verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not yet carnal and behaving like what? Mere men. Christians should not be like mere men. They should be like resurrected men and women of God. Amen? We should be different. How do I know if someone's a baby? They got strife, they got envy, they got divisions in their life. You're acting like a baby. What do little kids do when somebody else has their toy? Ah, you know, what do you do when somebody's sitting in the seat you always sit in? I can't even get anything out of this message. That's my seat, Lord. You say, that happens? Oh, I could give you testimonies. And they wouldn't even be out of this church. I've been at it long enough. I had somebody come to me one time. You know, these people showed up and they sat right behind me. And I could not get into worship at all because they had their kid with them. And that kid was so noisy, I couldn't get into it. I thought, you've been saved for how long? And you're defeated that quick? Why don't you offer to watch the kid and let the parents worship? And you mean you've been saved for so long that you can't serve anybody? Thou art a baby, thus saith the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. Skip down to verse 5. I got to get past that. go to verse 4. I'm sorry, because we're right there. He says, when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? When one says, I'm of Billy Graham and I'm of Kenneth Copeland, art thou not carnal? Whew, man, this stuff will just eat your lunch. But I just felt freedom go over the crowd too. Freedom. Why? We love Franklin Graham and Billy Graham and all the Grahams. All of them. We love them. They're our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? Do you agree with everything? I don't have to agree with everything to love somebody. I don't have to. He goes on to say, verse 5, he says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos what? Watered, but God gave the increase. All right, so how do you water? The main way you water is by meditation. Psalms chapter 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands, in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he what? Meditates day and night. Meditate means to imagine, to speak, to mutter, to talk, to study, to muse, listen to this, to devise or to plot. I love this. You say, what are you doing when you're reading the word? I'm plotting out my victory in the Lord. I'm thinking about, I'm meditating on, by his stripes I was healed. My vision now goes from one of dying to one of life and life more abundantly. Why? Because I'm musing over this. I'm thinking over it. I'm meditating on it. I'm plotting out my victory from the resource of what the Lord did in his death, burial, and resurrection. Why? I'm plotting out. He satisfies me with long life. He satisfies me. The end of this thing, it may feel like weeping now, but joy is coming in the morning. You say, what is that? That is joy, faith, that is birthed out of what? Meditation of the words of God. My kids are going to serve him. I'm going to serve. I got the preach on the last day or so, and I was preaching and I said, this is what's going to happen. The Lord's going to return and I'm going to be busy working for him. Or if I go by way of the grave, I will run, stretch out, break the ribbon, that first place for my life. You understand what I'm saying? And fulfill what God has called me to do. And then I'll fall out of this body. It'll fall to the ground. People go, what happened? I'll be like, see you later. And I'll be gone. And you can pick up the bag, wrap it in a burlap. I don't care what you do. Burn it, throw it in a ditch. Doesn't matter to me. Because one day when the Lord returns, I'm coming back for that body. And then what are you going to do? Rule and reign for eternity. So it doesn't matter how ugly it gets here. Because in the end, we come out shining. But how does that come about? You got to meditate. You got to meditate on those promises. If the issue is depression, if the issue is hopelessness, you find the scriptures and you meditate them and meditate them and meditate them. Depending on the severity of the situation that you're in, you may need to cut out everything else and just do this. Your answers are in his word and by his spirit. Amen? There's hope. There's hope at the end of this. You know, people say there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Our statement is the path of the just is like the rising of the sun. It shines ever brighter until the perfect day. In other words, it's getting brighter and brighter around here. Amen? Brighter and brighter and brighter. You can meditate in the word. You can muse in the word. Joshua said this. You can read it later, but Joshua 1:1-8. This book of the law, the Lord told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditate. You shall study it, Joshua. You shall imagine it, Joshua. You shall plot it, Joshua. You shall speak it, Joshua. You shall talk it, devise it, muse it. Plot it. What are you plotting? I am plotting the promises of God in my life. I'm plotting them. And in the end, what will I see? His faithfulness. It ain't over. People say, it ain't over, in sports. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. You know, people say that. They've made that statement through the years. That's not a scripture. Okay? It's not a verse. You know, people say, when it rains, it pours. That is not a scripture. Unless you're talking about the blessings. You know? What are you expecting? Well, I'm in a difficult situation. Where is the light? Now, Mike read this morning in leadership. He who sows light. Do you want 100-fold light? Sow it. I just don't understand. The situation is so dark. Sow light. The entrance of his word brings. Stand, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, I'm grateful. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your presence here and your goodness. Lord, we receive this truth today from your word. We know that you are good and your mercy endures forever. So Lord, in areas of our life where maybe we've allowed weeds in, maybe we've been hard, maybe we've allowed tribulation and persecution to be a deterrent to us or to get us away from what we know we should be doing in watering and seeding and removing things out of our lives. Lord, we ask that you forgive us for that. But we believe you, Father, that you are good, that you are merciful, that you're forgiving, that you're not mad at us. Your heart toward us has always been the 30, 60, and the 100-fold. It always has been. And so, Lord, we align ourselves up with you. If you need to do that in your own heart, just do it right now. Lord, you show me where I need to make adjustments. I want greater, deeper relationship with you. I want greater understanding with you. I want days and days without worry and distraction. I desire, Father, that you be number one in every decision that I make. You said in your word that we're to not lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you and you direct our paths. So, Father, as a church today, as a body of believers before you, we just acknowledge that. We say that. Direct us in every way, every way, every way. We thank you for it, Lord. If you're in the house today and you need salvation, you don't know for sure whether you're going to heaven or not, and you need to know before you leave whether you have had a relationship with the Lord or you never have had a relationship with the Lord. You need to know. If you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer, baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, any of these things, don't leave today without coming forward for prayer afterwards. Just make a beeline for us because we'll help you. Father, we bless you today. Let's just lift our hands to him. We honor you. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do. We give you the glory and the honor today in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. All right, God bless you guys. If you need prayer, don't hesitate. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles for you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.